So last weekend, we heard the words from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy before the people Israel entered into the promised land. We heard his words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." But what happens next in the story, in the unfolding of salvation? Of course, Joshua then bravely leads them into the promised land in the famous battle at Jericho, and they dispel all the forces of evil, all those who are opposed to God and his purposes. But what happens then is then the people of Israel invite them right back in. They didn't do exactly the opposite of what Moses told them to do. They start worshiping false gods and make other gods their gods, that the Lord of Israel isn't their only God, the Lord alone. And many times these false gods, by the way, were not exactly fostering moral goodness and virtue, but that many times they weren't fostering, for example, the fertility cults didn't exactly foster fidelity among married couples. And many times there was human sacrifices involved in some of these other religions. So they weren't exactly fostering good things. And as the story, and this story of them turning to other gods in the promised land as they enter in is spelled out in the book of Judges. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Judges in the Bible, but it's a pretty bloody and bizarre book. Pretty violent and disturbing. But the thing is it's supposed to be violent and disturbing. Because the theme that the book of Judges really draws out is this idea that with God is fullness of life, freedom, and peace. But without God is enslavement, doom, death, and destruction. With God is fullness of life, freedom, and peace, and without God is enslavement, death, and destruction. And as the book unfolds, we see this spiral of the people Israel into chaos, as they turn away again and again and again from the Lord. The cycle is they turn to worship false gods, they get conquered and enslaved, and then God is to raise up a hero, called a judge, to free them again. But as they turn away again and again, it spirals into this chaotic nightmare, as eventually the people of Israel start to turn on themselves in violent and disturbing ways, and finally ends with a big civil war where the people of God are literally destroying themselves. And it's spelled out in this way because it's communicating to us spiritual truth. Like I said, that with God is fullness of life, freedom, and peace, but without God is ultimately our own destruction. Because whenever we have a false god, when we make anything our god that is not the Lord God alone, whatever it is, even good things, that a false god ultimately will lead to our own enslavement and self-destruction. And that God wants, of course, to free us from that. But an example of that, we look even in our modern day today, that we apply that to our society. When we remove God, there is disastrous results. Because first of all, once you remove God from the picture, then the dignity of the human person begins to lose its worth and value. If you take God out of the picture, then what are we? And all we really are really piles of molecules, complex chemical processes. But really what makes us different than any other compilation of molecules? Than flies and slugs and really a pile of rocks, other than we're a slightly more complex pile of molecules. That the human person begins to lose their dignity and worth. And also that there is this undercurrent in society, this idea that a human's worth is only in them being able to be a self-reliant and contributing member of society. That your worth is only in your ability to feed into the system, that to be self-reliant and to work and independent and to be a contributing member of society. But the underlying idea of that then, the more sinister idea, is so then if you're not a contributing member of society, then you essentially don't have worth. You're just a leech on the system that needs to be cut off. And that can start to take many insinuating forms. Or on a more personal level, when we remove God from the picture, then all of a sudden, we become the center of our world. And our world becomes a lot smaller. And that we may have a close circle of trusted people, but outside of that, we can begin to see the world and others and other things as a threat to our comfort, our own happiness, our own fulfillment. You see an extreme model of this if you ever watch any mobster movies. You got the head mob guy, and he's got his trusted circle of people. But if anyone starts to threaten his own world, even someone in his circle, well, they got to get rubbed out. They're sleeping with the fishes that night, if you know what I mean. And of course, I don't presume that anyone here is a mobster involved in mob activity. At least I hope not. If you are, you better come talk to me. But that in more subtle ways, that we sometimes view others as a threat to our own personal comfort and happiness. That they're a threat to our circle of trust, and so they need to be pushed out. They need to be put out of our life. Perhaps you've had said to you, or you've said to someone, "You are dead to me." Perhaps you've heard or experienced those words. And Jesus warns against murdering someone within our own heart. To kill off someone to say that they are expendable and no longer a part of my life. Pope St. John Paul II preached about this idea of a culture of death. A culture of death. But what he wasn't necessarily talking about was a culture in where everyone's running around and physically killing each other, as in a war zone, but this underlying mentality. This mentality that human beings are expendable, that we don't have inherent worth, that if someone becomes an inconvenience to me, that they are expendable, they can be put out of my life. Or if they have no usefulness or worth to me, they are expendable, we put out of our life. And that mentality runs in a lot of very subtle, sometimes at first unnoticeable ways in our society and culture. So that the Lord wants to enter back in and free us from that. And that finally, sometimes, when we remove God from the picture, then sometimes there can just be the sense of, what's the point of all this? The sense of despair, or desperation, or meaninglessness, that I just get up and work and go to sleep at night, and eventually I'm going to die. So what's the point? But with God, that all begins to change. That when God comes into the picture, all of a sudden my struggles, my pains, my sufferings, the thing I face day to day, it doesn't just end in despair and death and darkness. Because death isn't the final word. Because when God comes in, all of a sudden my struggles, my pain, my suffering that I face each day in and day out is transformed by the cross, the twist of the cross. That rather than be a tragic ending where all ends in death, because of the comedic twist of the cross, all of a sudden my struggling and suffering and pain can be a path to salvation and eternal life. That death isn't the end, that it doesn't end in tragic death, but rather death has been transformed into the doorway to the divine, the doorway into eternal life. And so it's the irony that when we try and gain everything for ourselves, we lose it all. But when we lose everything to God, that's when we gain everything. As we hear in the first reading with the widow and Elijah, that she barely had enough left to have one more meal with her kid, but she welcomes the prophet of God in, and all of a sudden there is plenty. That she is nourished and sustained through the drought, through the difficulties. And as we hear in the gospel today, the widow who gives everything is the one who Jesus commends. Even though it seemed a little that she gave everything and surrendered everything, all of a sudden she's the one that has everything. So what is it that we still yet have to surrender to God? What do we withhold from him? What is it we hold back? And what are the false gods in our life from which we need to be liberated? Because with the false gods, there's enslavement, destruction, doom, and death. But with God, there's fullness of life, freedom, peace, and joy.